someone whistles tunelessly until Pike tells them to shut up.
"How does this affect our environment model?" Alan asks aloud. "The suits are only certified down to 120 Kelvin.
Someone else clears their throat.
"Donaldson here. I think we should be okay, sir. We're only going to be in contact with the ground via the feet, and we've got plenty of insulation and heating there. No air means no convective loss, and we're not going to radiate any faster just because ambient is cooler. Our regulators use a counter-current loop to warm incoming air from whatever we breathe out, so they're not in danger of icing up. The real risk is that we're going to be more visible on infrared, and if we get into a firefight and have to take cover, we are going to get frostbitten so fast it isn't funny. That lake is probably liquid nitrogen. Don't walk on any shiny blue ice, it'll be frozen oxygen, and the heat from your feet will flash boil it. Oh, and it's diamagnetic, your compasses won't work."
"Thank you for that reminder, Jimmy," says Alan. "Any more compelling insights into why the laws of physics are not our friends?"
The camera pans round. Same landscape, but now we see the gate framed by a low mound of dirt heaped up on one side, and a broken-down wall on the other. The lake is clearer, and some sort of rectilinear structure is just visible over the crest of the ridge.
"I don't understand the temperature," Donaldson says pensively. "There's something about it I can't quite put my finger on."
"Well, you're going to get a chance to put your finger on it quite soon. Mary, still no hot spots? Good. Alpha team, ready, insert."
On the other side of the doorway, three guys wearing dark insulated suits and backpacks quickly duck through the open gate and are gone from our universe. The robot's camera, pointing backward, catches them for posterity, ghosts leaping over it and passing out of view to either side.
"Chitin, clear, over."
"Smith, nothing in view. Over."
"Hammer, clear, over."
The camera pans round and takes in three shapes hunched low behind the bluff, one of them pointing a stubby pipe back past the robot.
"Dom, if you'd be so good as to take a look round the rear of the gate. Mike, Bravo team, insert."
Three anonymous bulky figures push past behind me, through the pressure doors erected in front of the hotel room. A gust of wind howls past my helmet as they enter the gate. The camera pans.
"Chitin, nothing behind the gate. Landscape is clear, rising to hills in the middle distance. I see some kind of geometric inscription on the ground and two bodies. Male, naked, gutted with a sharp implement. They look to be frozen, handcuffed behind their backs."
My heart flops over and I begin to breathe again. Ashamed, but relieved that neither of them is Mo.
"Howard here. That'll be the human sacrifices they used to open the gate," I say.
"Is there a kind of metal tripod nearby with an upturned dish on top?"
"Chitin, nope. Somebody's cleaned up around here."
"Bloody typical," somebody mutters out of turn.
"Charlie, insert,"
says Andy. He taps me on the arm.
"Come on, Bob. Time to party."
Ahead of us, Pike picks up the controls on something that looks like an electric street cleaner, the kind of wheeled cart you walk behind, and drives it forward toward the doors. It nudges through, and the gale almost sucks me forward. I follow in his wake, trying not to think about the cart's payload. You can make a critical mass out of about 6 kilos of plutonium, but you need various other bits and pieces to make a bomb. While they've been fitted inside an 8-inch artillery shell before now, nobody has yet built a nuke that you can carry easily, especially when you're wearing a 30-kilo life support backpack. Mist spurts out around me as I walk through the gate, and suddenly the ground under my feet isn't carpet anymore. It's crumbly, crunchy, like a hard frosted snowfall over gravel. I hear a faint buzz as heat exchangers switch on in my helmet, using the warmth of my breath to heat the air I'm breathing in. My skin prickles, abruptly feeling tight. My suit seems to contract all around me, and I emit an enormous and embarrassing fart. External air pressure, 0. Temperature, low enough to freeze oxygen. Jesus, it is springtime on Pluto. Pike drives his gadget forward about 5 meters, halfway to the parked robot. then stops and begins unreeling a spool of cable from on top of it. He almost backs into me before I get out of his way.
Bob, take this.
He hands me some kind of joystick-like gadget with a trigger built into it, plugged into the wire.
What is it?
I ask, thumbing my intercom to his channel.
Dead man's handle. We use two of them to detonate while we're out of range of the permissive action link signal, this side of the gate. Go on, pull the trigger. I've got the other one. It's perfectly safe to let go of one trigger at a time. It only goes bang if both triggers are released for 10 seconds at the same time.
Gee, thanks. How long did you say this wire is?